This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton is a celebrated and award-winning author, historian, cartographer. He's online at rickbritton.com, and he joins me for this, our first conversation of 2011. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year.
Did you have a nice, joyous holiday season?
I did. My mother was visiting from Argentina. She lives in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And she stayed for a while. So it was kind of different. Haven't seen her in 6 years.
Now, you grew up, part of your growing years was in South America,
right? A few years, yeah. Just outside of Buenos Aires and in São Paulo, Brazil.
So you grew up speaking Portuguese?
Spanish.
Yeah, speaking
the version of Spanish that they speak in Argentina is Castilian Spanish. And then, of course, in Brazil, they speak Brasileiro, which is the Brazilian form of Portuguese. But Brasileiro is to Portuguese as American is to English.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just a little different. Yeah.
And Castellano is to Spanish as American is to English.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, good. Colonial version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got a chance to see her over the holidays.
Yeah. And how about yours?
Very good. I had a wonderful few days in New York City this past weekend.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely unforgettable. I always enjoy going up there. Always enjoy coming home, but it's always fun to go up there. And this was the first trip where I really spent some time running Central Park.
Nice.
So every night we went out and we did about an 8 mile thing through Central Park. You know?
A jog?
Yeah, yeah. Just
wow,
an easy, you know, just like an hour where you run the perimeter of the park and up East Side Drive and then down West Side. And just beautiful.
Because
it's like you're out in the woods.
Right.
And there's snow on the ground up there. All the streets are clear, but there's a lot of snow on the ground.
Right.
And it's like you're running in the woods on a road closed to traffic.
Right.
And yet through the trees, there's just buildings lit up as far as you can see.
And,
it's just beautiful.
And hopefully you weren't attacked or...
No, as a matter of fact, there's every few hundred yards, there's a police car with the lights flashing.
They're
all through the park,
right.
Monitoring stations. It's the safest city in the world. It was just a problem.
It is a safe city.
It's completely different from the New York City that I remember when I was a kid in the 70s. You know, it's
absolutely.
Just very, very safe and just a billion tourists, you know, especially this time of year. A lot of fun. So what's the latest on your classes and your lectures?
Oh, my gosh. I got all kinds of things going on. And I've got a series of talks that start next week at Mickey Tavern, the Mickey Tavern talks. The dates are January the 13th and the 27th and February the 10th. And they start at 11 o'clock. The cost is $25, so 11 o'clock you get an hour-long lecture and Q&A, and then we head over to the tavern. These are actually going to be in the ballroom of the original structure. Then we head over to the modern facility and have a great Mickey Tavern lunch, and then I'm going to do a book signing. So these are taking place January 13th, January 27th, February 10th, and we've got one day, February 24th, if we have a snow date, if we have to cancel one of the others or postpone one of the others. And the lectures in order are going to be on Anastasia, Edgar Allan Poe at the University of Virginia, and the Marquis de Lafayette's 1824 visit to Charlottesville, Monticello, and the University of Virginia. What I'm trying to do in putting these together is I'm thinking of the world-famous folks who were here in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
You're also teaching a new class on the Civil War, right?
That's right, and that starts in March, so we can talk about this some more.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 7-session lecture series on the Civil War in Central Virginia, all across Central Virginia. To find out more about that, you can call the folks at the travel office at the Senior Center, 974-6538.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And for Mickey Tavern, let me give him the number for Mickey Tavern.
Yeah.
That number to sign up and to reserve a seat is 977-1234. Kind of easy to remember that one.
We're talking with Rick Britton. It's 5:14 on the clock on this Wednesday afternoon. It's about 39 degrees in the city. Rick, we want to start a new series here exploring the life of Thomas Jefferson. We've spoken last year. We spoke for months looking each week at a different significant Civil War battle.
In Virginia,
which...
And that took us a while, months.
Those podcasts are available online, cvillepodcast.com or winA.com. You can listen to all the conversations that we had. It was, a couple of dozen, 25?
25.
Significant battles. And as I've told you before, that was the first time I think I really could wrap my mind around the Civil War just by looking at what happened in Virginia, which was the main battlefield of the Civil War.
60% of the war fought in the state of Virginia. Yeah. And one of the reasons the sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary that starting right now this year, one of the reasons it's so important is most of the war, and I'm a Virginian, but I'm not exaggerating, look it up, 60% of the war fought in the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we looked at all these battles that took place here in Virginia. This year, we want to begin the year by having a series of conversations about the life of Thomas Jefferson. And what are your general thoughts first about this series?
Well, there's so many different ways to approach Jefferson's life, and you know, thinking about this, and you're a fella who likes series, and I like series too. So I was trying to think of different series, and I came up with some other ones. We can talk about those down the road this year, but I thought the idea of Jefferson's contributions locally. Contributions to the state, contributions to the national government, and then contributions that were used internationally.
Yeah.
The man walked the world stage, not just the local, the state, or the national
and
stage.
And it's so fitting, too.
But the world stage.
It's so such a fitting idea, because when he approached his own death, he really looked at his own life in terms of, well, what have I given my fellow man?
Right.
What did I give to humanity? And because that's what he wanted on his gravestone, were what he considered the three most significant contributions that he made.
Obviously, and those three, and so far I've got a list, and it's typical with me writing lists. I'm up to 33, and it's still growing, and it's roughly chronologically. Those three, you know, authorship of the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, Declaration of Independence is actually number one, Statute for Religious Freedom number two, and Father of the University of Virginia. Those are three of the most prominent ones on this list of 33 and growing. It might get up to 40. But there are plenty others, lots of others, obviously, and lots that the listeners may never have heard of.
Yeah, significant contributions that he made,
right?
Whether it's internationally, nationally, or even right in our community.
Right here locally.
You know, homegrown guy. Let me play a real clip here first. We're talking with Rick Britton. I am watching rewatching the John Adams miniseries. I got the complete DVD series for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And so each night I spent a little time with John Adams, and you can't help but spend some time with Mr. Jefferson and his brilliant portrayal in this miniseries. Here's one unforgettable moment.
I expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
The portrayal of Thomas Jefferson and Abigail Adams in the John Adams miniseries, which I got for Christmas. It's 5:20 on the clock. It's about 39 degrees in the city. Let's rejoin our conversation with Rick Britton. We begin today a conversation about a series looking at the contributions of Thomas Jefferson.
Right. When we first brought this up a couple of weeks ago, last year, you suggested the title TJ's Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, you know, 33 and growing. I just wanted to mention that another criteria was some of these are kind of broad. Some of these are things like service as minister to France, and we can talk about what he did broadly. But a lot of them are very specific. So there are certain things that he did while minister to France that are very specific contributions that are very big, or while Secretary of State, or while governor of the state of Virginia, or just after leaving the governorcy. Or you know, we can talk about the presidency broadly, but there are two or three really big things
that
define the presidency, of course. So that's how this list works.
Yeah.
There'll be some very broad things that we can kind of go over very quickly and then get into some very specific things.
You know, one thing that should be on your list, which we'll have to explore in this series, and it may not be a good thing, but it's certainly his leadership in contributing to the creation of party politics in America. He was right there as one of the seminal figures in saying, you know, if we are in his, from his view, the Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe camp of the Democratic Republicans, if we're going to save and ensure the principles of 1776, which by the, you know, towards the end of the Washington administration, they certainly saw that they were threatened. They said, we need party politics. We need to form into camps and we need to attack the Federalists. And that led to, of course, the great break between Jefferson and Adams.
Good point, my friend. 34.
Okay.
And counting.
34 and counting. It's 5:22 on the clock. We're talking with Rick Britton. And let's open up the phone lines at 977-1070. And we'll give away some Domino's pizza to all the folks who can. You got a quiz for us, right?
Yeah. I thought we'd kind of launch this with a quiz. And then every time in the future when we talk about the life of Jefferson and his contributions, chronologically, we'd perhaps add in two or three just to kind of spice things up a little bit, get some listener participation.
Get to your phones. 977-1070 is the phone number, and I'll let you have it, Rick. What's the first one?
Okay, big number one. We'll start right at the beginning. Thomas Jefferson was born in what county? Was it A, Albemarle County? Was it B, Goochland County? Was it C, Louisa County?
Give us a call. 977-1070 is the phone number, and if you have a little trouble, you know how we play on this program. I'll help you win. 977-1070.
Everybody wins.
Let's go to the phones. Everybody's calling in. Caller, what's your first name?
I'm Rob.
Rob, what's going on? Happy Wednesday. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you. Doing just fine.
All right. Rick, ask Rob the question one more time.
Rob, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, it's a trick question now. Thomas Jefferson was born in what county? A, Albemarle. B, Goochland. C, Louisa.
I believe it was in Chadwell, technically.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely Chadwell. But
I believe it was Albemarle.
Oh, no, it wasn't Albemarle County.
Dog.
Albemarle wasn't that big back then. Hell, it didn't cover Shadwell, I guess.
Right. Well, think about it. That the very next year after his birth, 1744, the jurisdiction changed.
And they created Albemarle County the year after
right.
he was born. So then that
so
means he was born where then, Rob?
Well, I believe that would have been Louisa.
Ooh, no.
Oh. Overdue. Oh, well.
Rob, take one more shot at it.
So that leaves which one?
Goochland.
Absolutely.
All right.
It was Goochland County.
Jefferson was born in Goochland County because when he was born in 1743,
this was Goochland.
Albemarle County didn't yet exist.
That's right. Trick question.
Rob, hold on just 1 minute. We're going to hook you up with some Domino's pizza. You're the big winner. Hold on. He is on line one, Channing. And let's go to line. Caller, you're with us. Turn your radio off. Caller, what's your first name?
David.
David, how you doing? Happy Wednesday. I think we got a question for you. Hold on just a second.
Are you ready, David? Hey.
Yeah, I knew Goochland, and I knew that was the first answer.
Okay, good. Then here we're going to give you another one. You ready?
All right, you got to give me extra chances, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll do it. That's how we roll.
Well, this is a true or false, so you get two chances. Okay, you ready? When Jefferson wrote Notes of this on the State of Virginia in 1781, when he described the boundaries of Virginia that year, the state included present-day West Virginia and Kentucky. True or false?
False.
Ooh!
Try it again.
I meant to say true.
There you go. That's true.
Way to go, David. You're a smart man.
What tricked me there was I knew it included West Virginia, but I didn't know it included Kentucky.
It did. Think about this. In 1781, Virginia went all the way to the Mississippi River. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
David, hold on just a minute. We're going to hook you up with some Domino's pizza. He's on line three, Channing. I'll take care of him at 5:25 on the clock. And, of course, once upon a time, all of America was Virginia. That was just the name.
A good chunk of America,
They said, this is the English part of America.
That's
we'll just call it Virginia.
Virginia, named after the Virgin Queen.
So, but as late as the 1780s, Virginia, the colony, still included, all the way out west, right?
Yeah, and until just after the American Revolution, the exact date I would have to look up, but Virginia had claimed all of the Northwest Territory, too, the old Northwest Territory.
Ohio,
For a while, Virginia included. Now, Virginia claimed it, but so did other states immediately following the Revolution. A lot of people thought, and if there was an argument, we probably would have won, a lot of people thought that Virginia had the best claim because of the action of the Army under George Rogers Clark, a native-born guy, conqueror of the Northwest. So, yeah, that's also Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and part of Minnesota. Wow.
That was all Virginia.
All Virginia.
Amazing. That really is
something.
Yeah. Rick, we are we only have about a minute or two left.
Okay, do you want to do one more?
Let's do one more. 977-1070. We got time for one more quick question. Give us a call if you're interested in some free Domino's pizza. 977-1070. And the question is?
Here's the question. Charlottesville's Italian sister city, Poggio a Caiano, has a direct connection to Thomas Jefferson. True or false?
977-1070. Give me a call right now and you could win. Let's go. 977-1070. True or false? And we'll give you two chances to win with the true or false question.
Everybody wins.
Where is the city, by the way?
That's a good question.
I don't know where it is.
It's in Tuscany.
Which is northern Italy, right? Or is that
northwest of Rome.
Northwest of Rome, up towards the mountains as you're going towards the mountains.
That's right.
Caller, what's your first name?
Tony.
Tony, happy Wednesday. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better. So let's see.
You ready for the question?
Is this Italian sister city, does it have anything to do with Jefferson?
Does it have a direct connection with Thomas Jefferson, true or false?
True.
Absolutely right. Good job.
Which would be why they picked it, right?
Right. And for the extra credit, do you know what the connection is?
What is the connection?
Do you know?
Yes.
All right.
Philip Metzai, whom Thomas Jefferson brought over to plant his grapevines, is from there.
Absolutely right.
Whoa.
Good job.
Way to go, Tony.
Good job.
Hold on just a second. We're going to hook you up with some Domino's pizza, thanks to our good friends at Domino's. That's good stuff. Very, very smart.
Absolutely.
Doesn't get any better than that. So, Rick, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. We'll have more quiz questions,
we'll launch into this series.
And what's the first contribution that we're going to look at?
The very first contribution is the dredging of the Rivanna River, 1765. Jefferson was a mere 22 years old.
And he is an advocate of dredging in Central Virginia. How about that?
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson weighs in on the water supply plan debate.
That's right, that's right.
Next week on Charlottesville Right Now. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.